This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. If you enjoy today's program, please tune into this station again next Sunday for worship with us.
What do you say to your relative or friend when you visit them in the hospital or the nursing home? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to join with us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that we can begin this Sunday and end this Sunday with that glorious gospel that we have a Savior, and that Savior is the one who watches over us no matter what happens. So grant, O God, that we may sense your presence with us. And today we pray in a very special way for those who are in the hospital or in the nursing home set aside. As you came to the Pool of Bethesda, we pray that you will come to be with these loved ones and grant them peace which passes all understanding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Truly, I love thee. Truly.
friends in Christ. In this sermon, we return to the Pool of Bethesda. Last week, we took the same text and preached the first of four sermons on this text. Last week, I was primarily concerned about the question that Jesus asked the sick man. Today, I'm concerned about the crowd that surrounded the Pool of Bethesda when Jesus was there. Though it's repetitious, I would like to read you some of these same verses from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. John. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It reads, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the individual replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." There is no question that Jerusalem was a beautiful city, but it also had its Pool of Bethesda, and that was not necessarily a pretty place to visit. However, the masses of people did come. Some of them were quite indifferent to those who were sick, lying there with their pain. They watched them and thought, "Poor characters. I hope that I never become so ill that I will land in the Pool of Bethesda." And then they went on their way. But there were others, perhaps few in number in comparison, but few who were very concerned. And so when they went to the Pool of Bethesda, they went to visit. Perhaps some of them would take along a little food and sit down and visit with those who were so impaired. Maybe in the evening hours, some would come with a bottle of wine to visit with the old cronies and to talk about them in the days that things were a bit better, to give them some encouragement and to let them know that the outside world still had a concern for them. It was a pretty rough place, no question about it, outdoors, all the difficulties that the weather brought to them. I can't imagine what it would be like. Now, we still care for the poor today, but we have come a long ways. I remember, and that had gone a long ways, but I remember when I was a little boy of going past a poor farm, and I would say to my father or my mother, "Tell me about these people." And they would say, "Well, they're sick, and they have no relatives or no one to take care of them, and so the state has had to bring them into this house. They don't get very good food, and they probably have very few who stop to talk to them. But maybe someday we ought to get to the poor farm." To the best of my knowledge, we never did. Now the poor farm has gone to what we call retirement centers, assisted living and nursing, together with independent living. Many of these, and I live in an independent Living Center have grown to the place that they are quite luxurious as far as they present for our living. We can be very thankful for that. We have a group of people assembled who go to our hospitals, even in our local cities. Perhaps they're not so very large, the cities, but they're able to maintain a place where they can bring their people for illnesses that are not as serious as some might be. But when the illness really gets serious, then we have these medical centers. Marvelous things are done both in the local hospitals and in the big centers for medicine. Medicine, surgery, therapies have advanced far. I just wonder sometimes if the care had been available for those who lay by the pool of Bethesda in their day, how many of them would have taken up their beds and walked? Maybe those illnesses were not quite as serious as we might have thought, but in their day, they were serious, for there was nothing with which to treat them. However, enough as far as the physical illness is concerned. These people were created in the image of God, and there they lie at the pool of Bethesda. They had a soul, and that soul was precious in God's eyes. We have to remember, people, and I want to re-emphasize it, that sickness is not only physical, but it is also spiritual. And when a soul is out of relationship with God, he is spiritually sick. Let me say that again. When a soul is out of relationship with God, he or she is spiritually sick. So what you had at the Pool of Bethesda is what you and I have today in many of our nursing homes, in many of our retirement centers. People who are sick physically to a greater or lesser degree, but people who also live with spiritual distress. Now, going back to the Pool of Bethesda, I like to believe that some of these people who visited there were very, very concerned about their fellow men. And they would come to them not only with food for their body, but they would come to them with food for their soul. This let your mind go. Here we'll say was a man or a woman who had been to a Bible study at the synagogue. And the rabbi that day had talked to them on one of the great passages in the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet was giving assurance and comfort to those who had walked into that study and were well. But he says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." And as the study went on in that synagogue, it could well be that that enlightened soul said, "I have to go to the Pool of Bethesda and share there with one of my friends." And so on her way home, she stopped in at Bethesda. And she said, "I got something today at the synagogue that I simply have to share with you. Just listen to what the prophet has written. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in you, because he trusts in you." And then maybe she had a little devotion with him and said, "You know, just keep on trusting. Your body hurts, you can't walk. The people ignore you. You think you're the lost individual. But God remembers you." How do you think that person felt when the visitor left? He or she had come to visit, to come and converse, but came with a message from God. Or it might have been that another said, "You remember our great King David. Remember that 23rd Psalm where he writes, 'Even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then she could have held the hand of her friend and said, I know the days are rough. It's not like when we were together, young and enjoying one another. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, to be sure. Bethesda is no nice place. But God is here. I will fear no evil, for he is with me. And then maybe they bowed their heads in prayer and prayed that great prayer of David that is found in Psalm 25. To you, Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen. At that night, when the lady who shared that prayer and that word from God with that sick, hopeless person, there must have been a peace in the heart of that person who was not only physically sick, but spiritually sick. And I wonder if there wasn't peace in the heart of that individual who came and delivered that word from God. Whether it's in the first century or the 21st century, my friend, a visit to the sick is an opportune time to share our faith. I have spent a lot of time during my years in the ministry, and oftentimes the ear that had been deaf to what was being said from the pulpit was wide open when it was said to them on their beds of pain. It was a joy to go there and to minister to those who were very sick, who were nigh unto death. Let me tell you the story of Olivia. I received a call to go to her room in the nursing home. And when I entered, there was her husband, daughter and son, and a son-in-law. The son-in-law caught my eye immediately, for he was one, or is one, of the most prominent theologians that we have in the whole church today. Not only the Lutheran church, but the whole church. He has written many books and is known as an authority on God's word and the confessions of the Christian faith. I must admit, I first thought, how do I minister to a woman when such a prominent theologian is standing right here by her bedside? But I thought, well, there's only one thing to do, and that is to share the gospel. And so I turned her to the 14th chapter. She was still conscious, and I said to her, now let me read for you. And I read, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way. And Thomas, one of the 12, said, Lord, we do not know the way. And then Jesus uttered these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then I could say to the dying lady, your time is about up, and soon you will be at home with the Lord. You don't have to wonder where you're going. You don't have to wonder what's on the other side. You don't have to be tortured with the thought that it's all over with. There is no more. Your Savior has promised you, a mansion. And it is all because Jesus Christ has died for you. Your salvation is by grace alone. You have been a very prominent person in the church. We have loved you and you have done well. You have served the Lord in an upright way. But your salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. And then we prayed. And I recall in my prayer that day, I said, Lord, the only message that we have to leave with this dear friend is a message of your gospel. We thank you for your grace. We pray that you will give her comfort and that you will comfort those who are around her bed. And I committed her into the name of Christ. When the amen had been said and my eyes opened, I was embraced by this prominent theologian. And he said, thank you for your devotion. As intelligent and as well-read and well-studied as he was, this was a time that we clung to the cross in a very special way. And then he said, and I loved it, there is only one thing. We have the cross, but we also have the church. And wherever two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst of us. And the Lord Jesus is with us today. That's the blessing, people, of sharing with those who are in our nursing homes. In our modern day, pools of Bethesda. But it doesn't always go that way because not everybody who is lying there has been great people of God. And I told this story to you not long ago, but I tell it again. When I was called to the bedside of a man who seldom entered the church. And as we sat there and visited, he said to me, I'm going home. And he said, I'm going to my heavenly home. And I asked him, how are you going to get there? And he replied, Jesus. Jesus is going to bring me there. I learned it as a child, and I believe it in my dying moments. What an experience that was. You see, my friend, we have our pool of Bethesdas. That's the purpose of this sermon. We crowd around our nursing homes. And we know that that is very, very important. But we need to come bring in a word from God, that those who live and die in their beds of pain may know this great truth. The Lord is with them. Amen.
Oh, sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. Is manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. We gaze ever to
Father in heaven, we thank you that whether the pool of Bethesda was days and years gone by, that there is still a pool of Bethesda today that is visited regularly by you. And so we ask that your healing grace will rest upon those this day who are sick, whether it be in the nursing home, the hospital, or in their own home. Grant that they may hear you say, I love you. I will sustain you. I will be with you. I'll comfort you. God, we pray that those of us who go there to visit may go there as your servants. Go there with a message, with a purpose, to bring them into your presence that they may know you as Savior and Lord. To that end, O God, use your church with all people, those who are well, those who are sick. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon will guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders invite you to become a partner in the mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world. We depend entirely upon the generous gifts of our listening audience to broadcast this message over the airwaves and internet. If you're able, please consider a fully tax-deductible contribution to this ministry. Please call to find out more or send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. What does it mean to be born again? Well, you can find out in the first volume of Basic Biblical Truths, the DVD video set of sermons by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. In this video, Reverend Larson discusses John 3:3, no one can seek the kingdom of God unless he is born again. These words Jesus spoke have puzzled many, from Nicodemus, who first heard them, to many of us today. Hear Reverend Larson talk about what it means to be born again and how the lives are transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Please call our office at 1-888-693-2484 to order Born Again, available for a suggested donation of $10, or you can order online at christiancrusaders.org. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.